morning. We're in the process of a series of reflections on love. And this morning I'd like to reflect on the passage in 2 Corinthians where Paul says, love is not jealous, that love does not brag, that love is not arrogant. Like to reflect on this. St. John of the Cross makes the observation that it is the nature of love not to rest until there's equality in love. That is, the one who loves sees the other who's down and is moved by love to lift the other up. And with each other, then, we take turns doing that for each other. And so in any marriage, in any family, in any parish, in any community, where there's love, you find this. You find people moved by love to help the one who's down up. Because tomorrow it'll be your turn. Someone will be helping you up. And this is what makes things work, really. John the Cross goes on to say, then, that God, who is love, will not rest until we're equal to God in love. That is, although it's true that we're absolutely nothing without God, God, without whom we're nothing, will not rest until we're equal to God in love. That we will share in God's love as infinitely as God shares in God's love. And that God will be all in all that we are. And in our faith, this is referred to as, Jesus referred to this as the kingdom of God. And sometimes it's referred to as paradise, is that love is our origin, love is our ground, and love is our destiny. And the consummation of life is an infinite union with infinite love. This is the momentum that draws us onward. Our faith also tells us, as if this wasn't amazing enough, that in some mysterious, intimate way, this infinite generosity of love in calling us to be equal to itself in love, this equality in love has already occurred. Ab origine, in the beginning, from the very beginning, from the moment of conception, from the moment of birth, the infinite love of God is completely given to you as your God-given godly nature. So that in truth, in some intimate, profound sense, nothing's missing anywhere. That you are the perfect manifestation of the perfect love of God in the world. That is itself also the perfect manifestation of that love. Now, we say, therefore, then, that in moments of spiritual awakening, moments of consolation, moments of liberation, these are not really moments where we gain anything we didn't have before. They're moments where we're awakened to the love that's always there. This is the strange thing about it. We serendipitously stumble upon a kind of sweetness or a fullness we didn't know was there. And we rest in it. Now, what's also mysterious is that this discovery that there's nothing missing anywhere, that is, this discovery that in some strange way I cannot understand, that the infinite love of God has given itself away as my life, this comes to us most paradoxically in moments when we're vulnerable, we can't pretend anymore because the posing and the posturing has been exposed. And in that moment of being laid bare, instead of being shamed out of existence, we're liberated from our pretending and we're set free. Isn't it interesting that in the beginning of life, to hold a newborn infant, who can claim to calculate the preciousness of that infant? It cannot be calculated. Because the preciousness of the infant is the preciousness of God, given as the preciousness of that person prior to the person achieving anything. And is it not also true at the other end of the journey, in the hospice, the other end of the journey, goes around, comes around, sitting at the deathbed of the dying loved one, who can claim to calculate the preciousness of that person? They can't even rub one thought up against another. But who can find words for the preciousness of that person? It's in between birth and death we have trouble. You know what I mean? At the very first moment, we're just shining bright. See? And in the very last breath, shines. It's incandescent, shines so bright. It's shining that way right now, shining that way right now. The problem is that we're exiled from our God-given godly nature, from being manifestations of infinite love in a world that is the manifestation of infinite love. And in that estrangement, we're in that split-off state, which is the exiled ego, split off from its God-given godly nature and its nothingness, we brag, and we boast. It's like the bravado of a ghost, see, flailing its arms. Look at me, look at me, look at me. See? And all the while, it rings hollow. Paul says that without love, it's like a clanging gong, cymbal, empty, 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 empty. This is why Cardinal Newman says, often in life, it's our failures that end up being more helpful than our successes. Because our successes have a way of reinforcing our illusions about ourselves. In our failures, we either despair or we go deeper. We could despair or go deeper. What happens when everything's been taken from me? Everything. What's left? The only thing that's left is what no one can take from you because it's God given to you as the very preciousness of yourself in your vulnerability. We come out from behind the curtain and we get real. And so love does not boast. Rather, in love, you're grateful that love has used you to help others. It isn't that you don't have gifts. It's not that you've been not able to do things. You have been. There's a rightful pride in that, self-esteem. But deep down, you know it doesn't come from you, but through you. Everything we have, we've been given. And we've been given to give it, to be love in the world. And the more you give it away, the more filled you are. That's how it works. So love does not boast. Jealousy is the flip side. Because jealousy comes from feeling a lack within oneself that one sees in another. And we feel jealous that they have it and not us. We're not proud of that when we feel that way. It's very painful to be jealous. It hurts. It's like a painful lack. Why am I so lacking? But jealousy is the flip side of bragging. For it's hard to be jealous when you're overflowing in the realization that you're worth all that God is worth. What's there to be jealous of, really? And so love does not brag, and love is not jealous. Love is a kind of quiet, vulnerable generosity that overflows and shares itself endlessly in all directions. And so in Lent, then, we would ask God for the grace to be liberated from being exiled from the God-given, godly nature of our ordinary life, and that we would share it with others by how we treat them. We'd share it with ourselves by being generous to ourselves, to all living things, really, to love. And so, in the meditation then this morning, in this 30 minutes of quiet, you might, in kind of a reflective way, ask yourself this question. Who have been the people in my life who have been disarmingly precious to me in their vulnerability. That is the moment they stepped out to admit in a vulnerable, transparent way the brokenness. I was disarmed by how precious they were in their brokenness. Who are these people? And what have been the times that I've had to come out from behind the curtain and I risk opening up? And instead of being shamed out of existence, I was unexpectedly liberated from the mask I thought I needed to hide behind. See, when has this happened to me? And how can I be someone in whose presence it's safe to get vulnerable? And I will not accuse, I will not shame, but they'll see reflected in my eyes how precious they are in their brokenness. And this is spiritual sobriety. Who are the people that have helped you to realize that deep down you're more precious than you could ever imagine, and there is no need to be jealous of anybody because you're overflowing with the fullness you can't even comprehend? And be grateful for it and walk your walk. Or if you are more inclined, more of a contemplative prayer, when you sit here for a half an hour, be quietly aware of your breathing. And to know that every inhalation is the infinite love of God being given to you as your life. Try to sit here for half an hour without inhaling. See how it goes. Not well. Not well, really. We don't have a blessed thing that's not given to us with every breath and heartbeat. And like a grateful child, be open to the generosity of love that gives itself to you in your life, in your breathing. And when you exhale, in the reciprocity of love, give yourself in love to the love that gives itself to you. Like, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. And let it deepen and grow in unexplainable ways. The mystery of the cross, the mystery of the cross, is that we're crucified of the illusion that there's anything real but love. The mystery of the cross is that we're liberated by the deathless nature of the love that reverberates itself through us endlessly in all our wayward ways. I invite you to stand. Be seated. I want you to fold your hands and bow. Be still and know I am God. Be still and know I am. Be still and know. Be still. Be still. Be.